Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Vice Admiral John Harvey, Chief of Naval Personnel and Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Manpower, Personnel, Training, and Education. Also joining us in our conversation is Bob Bleimeister, partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Admiral, as you take a look over the next 10 years, what type of personnel concerns do you think the U.S. Navy will face?
There are three big things that I focus on when we take our long look and try to match our people to the demands that the nation is going to place on our Navy. The first one is the changing nature of warfighting. Now, I'm not saying the changing nature of warfare. That, I think, will stay pretty stable. But the characteristics of warfare obviously are changing, have changed dramatically, and I think they will continue to do so. We face a far more diverse, globally networked adversaries and families of adversaries, state, non-state, loosely allied, loosely allianced actors. It's a very dynamic situation. And so you're going to have a force that can deal with that. Not necessarily the set piece, there's the Soviet Navy, that's what we focus on, that's what we study, and you spend years and years studying that and focusing on that. We really have to widen our aperture and be far more flexible in our ability to understand the threats we face. And so we need people with different skills and knowledges and abilities to do that for us. So that's very important to me. The second thing that's really important is the changing nature of the society that we serve and the society from whom we draw our sailors. The demographics of this country are changing dramatically. And it's not just a guess. The science of demographics really gives you some very good, hard results that are going to unfold. A rapidly growing Hispanic population, the shrinking of our Caucasian young males in the age group between 18 and 25. So our methods of recruiting are going to have to change. We have a generational shift going on. The millennials are coming in and the aging baby boomers are on their way out, and Gen X. And so we have to look at this new labor market, if you will, understand where our sailors are coming from, where the talent is, and how we reach that talent and not only bring it into our Navy, but then make sure that they understand, these wonderful young men and women, that they have a future with us, with a kind of a Navy that we're going to be. So it's that whole nature of the people that's changing and how we have to change as an organization to get the most out of them. And then the third thing is, this is Washington, so we're going to talk about money. And what are the fiscal constraints that I'm going to be under? People are more expensive. It's true in the Navy. It's true at IBM. Anywhere you look, people costs have just exploded over the last 10 to 15 years. I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, and I can remember this big, huge industrial complex called the Sparrows Point, Bethlehem Steel. Doesn't exist any longer, and it was done in partly because of an extraordinary labor cost that were locked in to the people and the way their workforce was shaped. We can't afford to have something like that happen. We can't be a dinosaur and have a dinosaur approach to this. So we're going to have to find some pretty innovative ways of dealing with the fiscal constraints, the cost of people, the capabilities we have to deliver, and how we bring those together in a sustainable way for the future. So those are the three big ones that I spend a lot of time worrying about right now.
Let's talk a little bit about the base realignment and closure recommendations and the quadrennial defense review decisions. How is personnel and manpower involved in helping to ensure a seamless transition to new structures and missions while preserving its uniquely vital capabilities?
Well, this is really a pretty challenging process. One thing, I'm very glad that we had this base realignment closure. I fully understand a lot of the pain that can bring to individual regions. But if we haven't had this to rationalize our support structure, then I am using a lot of people doing things that don't return as much to the Navy in terms of capability as they should. So it's very, very important to us to get the most out of our people was to have the most efficient structure we have from all our supporting bases and installations. The QDR helped to clarify our future and what it is I need to focus on and what my priorities are. So it's given me that impetus to say, okay, here's what we have to do more of, here's what I have to do less of, and then how we portion our resources accordingly. The one thing is that I'll take one exception to the wording is no transition to anything is ever seamless. If you talk about one of my lessons learned from 33 years, there are seams, but How do you recognize them, and then how do you mitigate them? I think that's the key. And so it's how we work the people piece, how we work this process piece to be sure we're driven by the capabilities we must provide and taking advantage of the technology, and then putting those together and saying, okay, what is the infrastructure we require to deliver on these capabilities? That's what the BRAC has given me. That's what the QDR has helped do for me. And then we're putting that together to make sure that we have that right balance between our capabilities, our force structure, our people structure, if you will, and the fiscal resources I have to sustain them.
Admiral, with all this change going on, the Navy's civilian workforce is also going to undertake some transformation with DOD's National Security Personnel System. Could you tell us how NSPS will affect the Navy's civilian workforce?
Yes. You heard me use the words through the course of this interview, changing, agile, flexible, adaptable, and uncertain environment. Well, that applies to our civilian workforce as well. They face the same environment that the uniform sailors do. So how do we best prepare them? How do we help shape them to deal with that same type of uncertain world, with that same level of response that we require out of our sailors? And I think this is what the National Security Personnel System, which NSPS for short, does for us. It focuses on individual performance goals that are aligned with the organization's goals. Tell them why we need them to be performing at certain levels in certain areas. And so you keep the people aligned with the mission and aligned with the organization. I think that's a huge step forward. And then it gives me the ability to be far more agile in how I move this workforce around and put the capabilities that these wonderful people have against the problems we need to address. And so it gives you that kind of flexibility that's so important to us in the future. So I think this is tough. It's big change. It is real deep change. But it is right change, and it's the right thing to do.
Admiral, you've given us just a wonderful window into the exciting personnel transformations going on within the U.S. Navy. I'm going to give you an opportunity here to put on your recruiting hat and tell us, what advice would you give to a person who's interested in a career, say, in public service, especially in the military? And finally, what do you say to that young sailor out there about the career opportunities and climate of the future Navy?
Well, that's a terrific segue, and I really appreciate this because I do have some very deeply held feelings about both those issues. Number one, this is a democracy. It is a participatory democracy, and our armed forces across the board and our Navy will only be as strong as the investment that our people make in them. And the most crucial investment the people of the United States are going to make in its Navy is who they send to be in that Navy. And so recruiting is at the heart of everything we do. We need the best young men and women this country has to offer to defend this nation 365 days a year around the globe against a dazzling array of very, very deep and dangerous threats. So public service for me is service to your nation. I hope that people think about this and look at the enduring contribution that this Navy has made to this nation for the last 231 years. We are a maritime nation. Our commerce, our economy depends upon the free flow of goods and services and resources across the seas. It did in 1776, and it does today. So we need to make that investment, sustain that investment in our people, in our Navy. I think that's of paramount importance. To the sailors today, they know, and I want them to have confidence in our ability and our commitment to their future with us. They have extraordinary opportunities. We will invest in their training. We will invest in their education. We will invest in their future. And we are committed to they being able to unlock all the opportunities and potential they have within them to be the kind of person they want to be the kind of sailor we need them to be, and to recognize that a future in the Navy is a bright one, it is a promising one, and one that offers them tremendous returns individually, as well as the ability to say at the end of the day, I served my nation, I served my Navy, I wore the uniform, and I did it proudly.
Admiral, thank you very much. Your passion is very exhilarating. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time, but I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Bob and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country in all the roles you've held within the United States Navy.
Well, thanks very much. It was a great pleasure to be here today, and I look forward to continuing this dialogue anytime in the future.
Fantastic. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Vice Admiral John Harvey, Chief of Naval Personnel and Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Manpower, Personnel, Training, and Education. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.